Good morning, everybody. Bit of a delayed response, that's okay. How do you know that the associate pastor is preaching on a Sunday? None of the sound equipment works right. That's okay, we'll make this stick microphone work for us today. Well, it's my pleasure to speak with you guys, a first time here speaking at Byron Community Church. This week was really good, the last couple weeks preparation. I learned a couple things about this community. First, I learned that everyone's really a prayerful community. Everybody was coming up to me and saying, Josh, we're praying for you this week as you prepare. Some of you knew that last week I was really sick. I didn't have much of a voice. I was talking like this. And you guys were praying that I would get better and have a voice. I learned that you guys are a great community of prayer. The second thing was that everybody I was running into or calling me up or emailing me were saying, you know, we know, Josh, that you're preaching this week, and we're really looking forward to it. And so the second thing I learned is that you guys are really optimistic. But that's all right. Lots of sports going on. Did you see this week that the London Knights are the OHL champions? Someone's excited. Lots of good sports going on. Lots going on in the NHL. Jurassic Park with the Raptors are doing well. We're talking sports today, and we're talking about I have no idea what that was. I'm going to come over here. We're talking sports today, and we're talking teamwork today, and I thought we would kick things off with a clip from one of the greatest sports movies of all time, The Mighty Ducks. It's fitting. And so in this clip, it's just a short, about 42 seconds or so, there's going to be some words that pop up on the screen. For our purposes today, just ignore that and just focus on the action. So here we go, The Mighty Ducks.
Win this thing, you have to work as one. Now as one, skate. Everyone goes their own way, everyone falls down. Now get up and try it again.
All right, all of you move to your right, now.
Who makes you boss? Everyone to the left.
Left, guys, come on.
You guys can argue all you want, but I'm not untying you until you move as one. That's it, now you're learning. Communication! That's it! Good, together, move together! Charge! All right, right, turn!
Turn right, that's it!
The ducks fly together. They have to move as one to be successful. Don't worry, Paul, I got the stopwatch going now. I almost forgot it there for a second. So today we're talking teamwork. And if you're taking notes or if you need a basic structure or some headings for what we're talking about, we're going to address a couple of questions. First, what does it mean to be a team? We don't play hockey. What's our goal as a team? What's our task as a team? The third question that we look at is, how do we as individuals embrace this idea of being part of a team? And if we are a team, our last question is, what is our team strategy? And to do this, we're going to look at our scripture from Exodus that we read just a few moments ago, because I think it's just the perfect example of what teamwork looks like. And then we're going to jump around in the New Testament just a little bit to answer those other few questions. But before we do that, before we dive into things, let's just pray. Would you pray with me? Papa God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we have this place to gather. And we thank you for everybody that has come out today. I ask that you would quiet our minds and quiet our thoughts, Lord. Silence any voice, silence any thoughts but yours, so that we may hear your voice and hear your words, and connect through your word, Lord. I ask that you guide me today, Lord. Speak through me, that today it may be your words that I speak, and not my own. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So that video clip is, of course, from D2, The Mighty Ducks. Wave at me if you've seen that movie. We need to have a movie night, apparently. There's three of them, so it's going to be a long night. Exodus, if you've got your Bibles with you, you can flip over to Exodus 17. We want to take a look at what Exodus tells us is a winning team combination. It's a little bit of scripture, just a couple of lines, but so packed full of different things. Youth group guys, before I forget, you guys have your sheets. I'll do my best to make sure that you can get those blanks as we go along. If you miss one, give me a wave, okay, and I'll go back and make sure that you've got them. So Exodus 17, 8 to 16, what do we have going on here? Two leaders with two separate units, but they need each other in order to defeat the Amalekites. Moses goes up on the hill. If he's just up on the hill, they can't win. Joshua and the troops, they're in the trenches, but it doesn't really matter what they do. If they don't have the leadership of Moses, they can't win. Two units, but they need to work together to accomplish the same goal. Neither one can succeed without the other. What's Moses' job in the battle? His job is to go up on the hill, take the staff of God, and raise his hands up to the Lord. But he can't do this by himself. He gets tired, he gets weary, and he can't keep his hands up. And every time his hands go down, the Israelites start to lose. He has to keep his hands up. And this is Moses we're talking about. This is the greatest Hebrew leader ever, and he can't do it on his own. So he needs contributions from his teammates. Aaron and Ur, they have to hold his arms up for him. They're probably wishing that Moses knew about deodorant as they hold his arms up. Sorry, folks, this is the way it's going to be today. Moses needs contributions from his teammates. But what I find really interesting about this story is, think about it. If you were to flip in your Bibles back just a couple of pages, the Israelites are slaves. They have no idea what freedom is. And just a couple of pages earlier, Moses is leading them, and he leads them right up to the edge of the water at the Red Sea. They're right there, and he has a staff of God in his hands, and he sticks it in the sand. And if you're anything like me right now, you've got Pharaoh stuck in your head. And if you don't, then you need to come to VBS week. We're recruiting volunteers all day today. But he leads the Israelites up to the edge of the water, and where they stand is slavery. They're not free. In front of them is water, and it's so big, it's so wide and deep, they can't cross it on their own. They don't have time to build a boat. They've got Pharaoh and the army coming after them. On the other side of the water is freedom. On the other side of the water is their salvation. But as they stand at the edge, there's nothing that they can do themselves to get from one side of the water to the other. There's nothing that they can do, as maybe Pastor John would say, to get from old address boulevard to new address lane. So what do? They trust in God. Moses sticks the staff in the sand. God parts the water, and God leads them through from slavery across the water to freedom and to their salvation. You see, folks, we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We can't save ourselves. We're not saved by our works. We can't cross the water on our own. In being saved, all we're doing is what the Israelites did. They had to believe and trust in God. And for us to be saved, we need to believe and trust in what God has done through Jesus. But once we're saved, once we cross the water and we are on the other side of our salvation, we are on the other side of freedom, we have a role to play because we're part of the team, right? The Israelites, they get up to the edge of the water, and all they need to do is have faith and trust in God. They can't do anything about it. They can't part the waters. They can't swim. God does everything. All they need to do is trust in him and follow him, and they cross to the other side. But now that we're in Exodus here, Exodus 17, they have to take up an active role. Every single one of the Israelites have a job to do and a role to play. And so do we. Well, what else do they do? In verse 12, Moses, he's getting tired. They can't hold him up, so what do they get for him? They get him a rock to lean on, and you better believe this is in there on purpose. It's not just a rock. Nod with me if you know where we're going. Don't just nod to sleep. I'm watching. They get a rock to lean on because we are to trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. Isaiah 26:4. Moses leans on the rock, and now that we're on the other side of our salvation, we need to lean on the rock as well. So, Moses, Aaron, and Ur, they're up on the hill. They're taking care of what they need to do, raising the staff of God up to the Lord. Joshua and the troops, they're slugging it out in the trenches. The fight is on, but no matter how hard they work, no matter how much sacrifice they make, they can't win without Moses, and they can't win without God. Now, we could talk about this in detail, but Paul said he was going to cut my mic off if my stopwatch beeps. So I think we can all agree that for any army to be successful in battle, they have to work together, right? Do this. Yes? middle section's giving me trouble. Any army to be successful, they have to work as a unit. They have to move as one. So the battle's won. The Israelites defeat the Amalekites, but the job isn't done yet. Moses isn't finished. He has to make sure that Joshua and everybody else understands that that battle was not won because of them, wasn't won because of their strengths, wasn't because of what they did, but because of hands outstretched to God. They need to always remember that it was God who brought them to the other side of their salvation, and it's God who guides them now. I believe that there are three key ideas that we can take here from Exodus. First, we are a team. Regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of where you might be on your journey with God, regardless of maybe if you're visiting your church affiliation or your denomination, it doesn't matter. We as followers of Christ belong to the same team. If you're sitting here today and you call Byron Community Church your home, then you're part of the Byron Community Church family. You're part of the Byron Community Church team. If you're sitting here today and you're not really sure who's God and who Jesus is, and you're trying to figure it out, maybe you haven't quite crossed the water yet. Well, we're happy that you're here. We're happy that you're listening online today, because this is the right place to be to figure it out. That's what you're invited into. You're invited to be part of a team. You're invited to come around this table and pull up a chair as a family member and be part of the family. That's what you're invited into. Because when we come together, when we all come together as one team, as one unit, as one family, we are one holy, universal, and apostolic team. We are one holy, universal, and apostolic team. Those are your blanks there, kids. Apostolic is a tricky word to say. Second thing is that, yeah, we can identify a few key characters in this story in Exodus. Aaron, Hur, Moses, Joshua, the troops. Everybody has their own role to play. They have their own way of contributing. But for the Israelites to be successful, for the team to be successful, the team is dependent on everybody contributing, working together, and moving as one. All the different roles come together and they achieve one outcome. For us here today, again, if you are a follower of Christ, you have a role to play. If you belong to Byron Community Church, if this is your home, then you better believe that you have a role to play right here, and your contributions matter, and we need them. So what does that mean? For some of you, that may mean your role is to have your hands outstretched to God, because we can't complete our task without that. For some of you, that may mean you're right in the trenches. Maybe that means you take somebody out for a cup of coffee next week, and you check in and see how they're doing, and you pray with them, and you pray for them. Maybe that means you bake pie for different events. I like pie. Who bakes pie? Nobody? What? Pie. Strawberry pie. It's great. I'm getting distracted. I'm hungry. Maybe you bake pie. Maybe you take people out for coffee. Maybe you lend your experience to a board, or you help plan an event, or you help teach Sunday school, or you help teach Sunday school, or you help teach Sunday school. Or maybe you come out for a week of VBS. There's so many different things that you could do, but everybody has a role to play, and all of those contributions matter to the team, and it's necessary for the team to succeed. Everybody take a deep breath in. This side gets it. Try again. Everybody take a deep breath in. And out again. Now, if your neighbor needs a Tic Tac, you tell them after the service. Don't tell them right now. But if you can sit there today and you can take that deep breath in and out, then you have the breath of life in you. You have the breath that God himself breathed into you. And if you can take that breath, then you better believe you belong to this family and you have a role to play on this team. My time is going. The third thing is that we need to recognize from our passage here is that we always need to have an eye towards the future and towards the future generation. Folks, again, if you're sitting here today and you've been part of the Christian community for a while, or if you've been part of Byron Community Church for a while, then you better believe part of your responsibility is building up the next generation. Now listen, this gets a little bit tricky. Building up the next generation doesn't mean trying to find the kids or train them so that they're going to do everything exactly the same way as it used to be. No. Building up the next generation, like Moses had to do with Joshua, it's about ensuring that the next generation knows who they are, who they belong to, and how to reflect the love and the glory of God in everything that they do. Amen? That is our responsibility, is building up the future generation. All teams have a goal. NHL, that's my thing. I like to watch hockey all the time. And for 29 teams, their goal is ultimately to win the Stanley Cup. For my team, the Anaheim Ducks, our goal every season is to get to Game 7 on home ice and to lose. And we're really good at it. But every team, whether it's hockey or basketball or cricket or whatever, everybody has a task and a goal. So what is our team's goal or what is our team's task? Youth group, you guys are way ahead because we talked about this a couple weeks ago. If you got your Bibles open, we're going to be looking at John 21. Because I would say that our task as a team here at Byron Community Church, our task as a team and as a family of the community of Christ is the same task that Jesus gives Peter three times in John 21. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Our task, our goal as a team, is not to win the Stanley Cup. It's to feed my sheep. Now, we might look at this and think, this is pretty great for Peter. Jesus is sending Peter off on this awesome, heroic individual quest. Hooray, Peter. But that's not what's going on. What does Jesus do when he sends out the disciples in Mark 6:7? He doesn't send them out as individuals. He sends them out in pairs. Because this task is not an individual task. It's a communal task. It's a communal task that is shared by all. But though it's communal, it is also a mutual task. It's a task that we all hold in common. Jesus is the good shepherd, yes? Just checking. Jesus is the good shepherd. He doesn't ask us to take his place as a good shepherd or to even be professional shepherds. No, no, no. He requires us. He requires Christians to take care of the sheep as vulnerable brothers and sisters who care and are cared for, who know and are known, who forgive and need to be forgiven, and who love and are loved. The task of our team to feed the sheep is communal and mutual. Now, some of you know that I was involved in sports ministry for a long time, and we're actually trying to get a youth ball hockey program going in the fall. That's why I'm priming you with the Mighty Ducks clips. That's why I got you to, if you raised your hand and saw the movie, you're qualified to be a coach in the fall. But part of what I got to do in this sports, for Sports Plus Canada, was I got to coach a lot of teams. I got to coach some ball hockey teams and some basketball teams. And basketball, I don't know anything other than what was in the movie Space Jam. But what I figured out was that most teams in youth sports, they rely on one or two players. That's the team strategy. Get the ball to Nick. Get the ball to the best player. They're the ones that are going to score. They're going to do everything. The task of scoring fell on one or two players. What we did for the Outlaws was we instituted a three-pass rule. This is three on three. So everybody has to touch the ball before we're allowed to take a shot or before we're allowed to try and drive to the basket. And by that, by doing that, our opponents had no idea who was going to try and score. Instead of the task falling to one player, it fell to the whole team. And in doing so, we could come at you from every different angle and we could win games. And I have to mention, because I know my mom's going to listen to the podcast, that the Outlaws beat her team for the championship. Three times. Our task on that basketball team to score was not an individual task. It was communal and it was mutual. Our task as a team here at Byron Community Church and as the followers of Christ to feed the sheep is a communal and mutual task. This is where it gets a little tricky. To be part of a team, maybe you've heard this said before from Don Cherry or somebody, You got to forget about the name on your shoulders and focus on the logo on your chest. Have you heard that before? Yes, no, or just sleep. Have you heard that before? All right, good. Just checking. So sports jerseys, just in case you don't know, you always have a number on the back and your name across your shoulders, right? And some players, they take great pride in scoring the most goals or getting the most points or doing the most individual accomplishments, but they can't ever make the right contributions for the team, right? The team's goal is to win a championship, not win scoring titles. So for us, when we talk about being part of a team, is we need to worry about the team that we represent, the team that we belong to, and not about our name. Because what's the message that we carry as followers of Jesus? That we are loved, not because of our accomplishments or accolades or who we are, but because God has created and redeemed us in love. If we look at Matthew 4, what's Jesus tempted to do? He's tempted to be relevant. He's tempted to show off the awesomeness and the power and the individual accolades that he has across his shoulders. Because what does the tempter do? He says, you know, you're hungry, Jesus. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread, and they will. It's Matthew 4:3. That doesn't work. So the tempter takes him up to a high place overlooking the city, and he says, Jesus, come on, look. All the people can see you. You're the Son of God. Throw yourself off. Now listen, you're the Son of God. God's not going to let you stub your toe. God is going to send the angels. They're going to scoop you up, drop you down. You're going to be fine. Everybody's going to see it. It's going to be awesome. Crowd's going to go crazy. And they're going to know that you're the Son of God. Jesus' temptation is to show off the name that he has on his shoulders. But he doesn't do it. Now, you know that this is not a notion that I have. This comes from Henry Nouwen. Wave at me if you know who that is. Awesome. If you don't know who that is, go home today, Google it, or check it out on Amazon. He's got a lot of great books. Henry Nouwen, he was a very successful professor at Notre Dame and at Yale and at Harvard. He's pretty smart. He had published a lot of top-selling books. He had just a number of amazing, relevant accomplishments, and yet he felt empty. He felt that this didn't really make any sense to him. So he gave it all up to be part of a L'Arche community. Wave at me if you've heard of L'Arche before. Okay, great. So L'Arche, it's a community for handicapped individuals. All right, and so he gives up his relevance in the world. He gives up his claim to fame, being a professor at the top universities, top-selling author, and he gives it up. He writes about this experience, and he says, this experience forced me to give up my relevant self. You might say, forced him to give up the name on his shoulders. This experience forced me to give up my relevant self, the self that can do things, prove things, and build things, and forced me to reclaim that unadorned self in which I am completely vulnerable, open to receive and give love, regardless of any accomplishments. It forced him to give up his relevant self. What's the message of the secular world? And when I say secular, I mean the world outside of church land. Okay, outside of these walls, outside of the faith community, that's what I mean by secular world. What's their message? I can do it myself. I don't need God. I don't need you. I can do it. What's relevant to them? Control. And all I need to do to get more control is work harder. Power, money, fame, influence. That's what matters to the secular world. You might say what matters to the secular world is me and you. It's about the self, right? Does that make sense? Would you agree with that? Good, you're getting it. Some of you are nodding. Some of you are just nodding off to sleep. I'll take it either way. But see, as the church, we can't fall for that temptation. We can't fall for the temptation to worry about the self. Because under the secular world's facade of popularity, success, and power lies emptiness, brokenness, and despair. We need to embrace the idea of being part of a team. We need to forget about, ignore, and reject what society tells us to embrace, this self. And we need to focus on being part of a team, Christ's team, in representing God in all that we say and do. Uh-oh, Paul's going to cut my mic off soon. So, we're a team. We got to move as one. We need to feed the sheep as a communal and mutual task. And we need to play for the logo on our chest. So if we're a team, what is our team strategy? Every team has a strategy. You dump and chase. You attack on the fly. Whatever it is, you've got a team strategy. So what's ours? Our team strategy is to be a team, a family, or a community of service. Our team strategy is to be a community of service. It's been said that the church is the only society that exists for those who are not members of it. The church is the only society, it's the only team, it's the only family, it's the only community that exists for those who aren't members of it. Our team strategy is to be a community of service. The church is to be a community of peace and justice. By being a witness, the church is showing everybody out there, outside of church land, what it is to be God's good creation. See, the role of the church, the first thing that we talk about is about a kingdom. It's about a family. It's about a team. So the first thing that the church says about life isn't about I or self. It's about life together. It's about life as a team. It's about life as a community. And if that's going to be our claim, that we have claims of God's kingdom, then our first task and our strategy is to be a servant community or a community of service. Now, this is big, all right? If you've not been paying any attention, this is a time to lock in. Write this down. This is the most important part. So when Pastor John comes up to you, because I know he's gonna, and says, what did Josh talk about? You can tell him this. This is the most important thing. We, as the church, must live under the notion that God will use our faithfulness to make God's kingdom a reality in the world. We need to understand that it doesn't matter if our contributions are baking pies or taking people out for coffee or helping with Sunday school or helping with Sunday school or helping with Sunday school. We need help in Sunday school. It doesn't matter what your contribution is, how big or how small, God is going to take that and God is going to use your faithfulness and reach out. So if next week all you can do to contribute is, hey, I'm going to take somebody out for coffee. I only got 20 minutes to spend with him, but I'm going to talk with them. I'm going to see how they're doing spiritually. I'm going to pray with them. That's all right. God is going to take that faithfulness and God is going to reach out through that contribution and God is going to make God's kingdom a reality. Because at the end of the day, God lovingly reaches out through God's people to a needy world. We must live under the notion that God will use our faithfulness to make God's kingdom a reality in the world. Because ultimately, through our words and our actions and our lives as a whole, we express the compassion of God for humanity. We are running out of time, but that's all right. A couple more things we want to talk about. We talk about team, but everything, our strategy, our contributions, how to be part of that family, comes down to answering one question. And the youth know exactly what this question is because we talked about it. They were my guinea pigs. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. And we go back to John 21 because when Jesus gives Peter his task, he also asks Peter this very important question. He asks him three times. It's the same question that we need to think about and we need to consider. The question is not, how many people take you seriously? The question is not, how many people attended on the Sunday that you preached? The question is not, can you show me the results? No. The question Jesus asks three times, do you love me? It all comes down to that question. Do you love Jesus? Because it doesn't matter what your contribution is. Do you love Jesus? then God will take that contribution of pie making and do something amazing through it. Do you love him? That's the filter. That's the lens that we need to look at the church. That's the lens that we need to look at our team, at our family, at our community. That's the filter that we need to look at our own lives. Because everything, our decisions, our thoughts, our actions, our words, everything is influenced by how we can answer that question. Do you love him? Better calm down. I'm starting to preach here. There's an enormous need in our world today for men and women and children and youth who know the heart of God, a heart that forgives, cares, reaches out, and wants to heal. Quickly to summarize, because I've got 72 seconds left. One, we are called to come together as a team and to move as one. Second, ultimately, our goal as a team is to feed the sheep. That's our task, feed the sheep. Third, in all that we do, we must forget about our own relevance, like Henry now, and we must forget about the name that we have across our shoulders and embrace the team logo that we have on our chest. And fourth, our team strategy when we all come together is to be a community of service. Now maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, that was great. We didn't mess it up too badly, but what do I do with this? Well, it's almost like we planned it, that tomorrow at 7 o'clock is our outreach team meeting. So if you're sitting there and you're like, yes, I want to contribute. I've crossed the water. I'm in a new address boulevard, and I want to contribute to the team, but I don't know how. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, is a great opportunity to have that conversation. We're going to sit around a table. We're going to talk about the different programs and different events that we've sort of thrown out there, the cafe, the ball hockey programs, the Santa Claus parade, and any other strengths that we may have as a group. We're going to talk about it. So if you're looking for a way to get involved, if you're looking for a way to contribute, tomorrow, 7 o'clock would be a great opportunity. If tomorrow doesn't work for you, that's okay. It's almost like we planned this. There's another opportunity coming up on a weekend in a couple of weeks. We're going to be having a spiritual gift seminar. All right, and this is going to be a great way to help identify where your strengths lie and where you can get plugged in to contribute. So we talked about contributing, and there's the application. I want to leave you with that question. I want you to think about it this week. Do you love Jesus? Maybe you need to write that down. I want you to take some serious time when you're stuck in traffic or when you have some quiet time around the house. I want you to think about that question. And many of you can probably answer it right away. Do you love Jesus? Absolutely. I wouldn't be here if I didn't. But Jesus asked Peter three times. Jesus knows the answer, right? Jesus knows everything. Jesus needs Peter to understand the answer to the question. We need to understand our answer from our own heart to that question. So that's my challenge to you this week. Answer that question. And ultimately, I have to summarize the same way that we started. If we learn nothing else, ducks fly together. Thank you very much.